Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Prepoint Pod. Today we have Natalie Liu, who is a dancer with the Hong Kong Ballet, joining us. It's very exciting. She is talking to us today about balancing tertiary study, so studying at university, and a classical ballet career. Welcome, Natalie. Welcome to the Prepoint Pod. Thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Natalie, you are a member of the Quarter Ballet at Hong Kong Ballet.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your dancing background and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. Well, I started dancing when I was 3 and a half, just like an after-school activity, all the way up till high school. So I went to regular high school and just would dance maybe like 6 hours a week. Did the RAD training all the way up to solo seal and did a couple competitions, local competitions. And then I went off to college, normal college, doing non-dancy things, but also dancing as a hobby because I loved it so much. So I was in like college dance groups. I minored in dance in college. And then I realized I was dancing so much. So I ended up taking 3 gap years during college to try out dancing full time. That's when I went to the Queensland Ballet Academy for a year in their PPP program, where I met you. And then I did a year of a young artist with the Queensland Ballet. Then after that, I did half a year with Hong Kong Ballet. Went back to school during COVID and then rejoined Hong Kong Ballet. And this is my 3rd season with them.
That's, yeah, a really interesting pathway. And I think it's really good for younger dancers to sort of hear that, you know, nothing's sort of, or, you know, not everyone has a linear pathway. And so like with your university study, what did you study?
I was studying architecture. Yeah, I guess I did well in physics and math and art in high school. So architecture seemed like a good blend of what I was good at. And actually, architecture and dance have things in common because they deal with space and they deal with how people move through space. So I think that was what intrigued me. Actually, like when I was studying architecture, the idea of like you can design how people move through space. Yeah, I think that was part of the dancer in me that really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool observation. It's interesting because architecture was one of the things that I thought that I wanted to study too at university.
Oh, okay.
Physiotherapy is a bit different, I think. But yeah, and so just to give the listeners some context, so you were doing your study in the US and then you came to Australia to do your ballet training. What was college life like in the US? Like that's such an interesting thing that people in Australia don't know much about.
Oh, college was so fun. well, you, at my university, most of us lived on campus. So basically everything was like a walk away. I was like a 10 minute walk away from my classes, from the dining hall, from my friends' rooms. Like everyone just lived very close to each other. I got to meet a lot of different people. So I'm from Hong Kong. So I was an international student going to the US. And I think the percentage at my school is like maybe 10-11% were international students. I got to meet, just like people from different backgrounds, different cultures, and people who were passionate about different things. So I thought that was the best part, was just meeting different people you otherwise wouldn't be able to meet, So like I joined multiple dance groups. I was in like a musical theater group for a bit, an a cappella group for a bit, like a Christian fellowship group for a bit. You just get to meet so many different types of people through the different groups, that like not even just like classes, but just the outside of school life was so fun. Yeah.
I mean, that's very different, I think, to going to university in Australia, for example. Like, I think it's a very different experience, quite unique, which is really cool. How did you manage to complete that degree at the same, or did you complete it? And did you complete it at the same time with that big gap? Like, how did you manage that? I think that's really interesting.
Okay, so actually I didn't finish it at the same time, but I ended up going back to school and graduating during COVID. So my senior year was online. I guess I realized for myself, I couldn't pursue dance and do well in school at the same time. I really had to, like, that time I quit ballet and then went back to school. And then when I went to QB, I quit school to go to QB. I just felt like I needed to focus on one thing. So for me, that was the path that I took. I had to be fully committed to one thing and then go for it. But during my time, so when I went back to school, this was 2020, I was just recovering from an Achilles tendonitis. That was the last show I did with Hong Kong Ballet before I stopped. And I didn't do any ballet for 7 weeks, just to let my Achilles heal. And I didn't really know if I wanted to keep dancing at that point. So I was just going to finish college and then see what I wanted to do. But then every time I did go to dance, I chose to go. Like, I was like, oh, I miss dancing, so I'll take this class. And then there's something about taking a break that makes you appreciate it more when you choose to do it again. And I think I also learned to work smart. So I didn't have to do ballet class every day, but I would do ballet class when I could, and then make sure I worked my muscles properly, make sure I had a good recovery, made sure I had a good relationship with food, and then learned to like use the gym more, do exercises, because sometimes you benefit more from actually just like doing Pilates or doing some exercises for your feet or your ankles than just doing a ballet class. So yeah, just learning to...
I love that you said that. I mean, oh. It's interesting because not... people don't think that that pathway is a possibility. And usually, as you say, like they do take that route because they're injured. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe it even prolonged your career in a way. I mean, just having some of those formative years are when dancers dance so much, like their load is so heavy. And you've had a few years like that, but to have that time that was a relative break, I wonder if, you know, in the long term, it's sort of going to help you dance for longer. I don't know.
You just learn. You learn what your body needs. Yeah. And then learn to think more about why you do ballet class, I think. Yeah.
So why do you do ballet class now? Like, I mean, that might seem like a silly question because I assume that you start your day with a class when you're dancing in the company, but do you have like a mentality that you take into class? Sorry if this is going off track a bit, but
no, that's okay.
How do you approach it now? Like when you rock up to class, what do you think to yourself? Like,
Well, the true reason why I show up to ballet class is because if I don't get paid. That's part of my job.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
And actually, I'll be honest, the past while going to ballet class has been more of a chore, like, oh, I have to wake up and go to class. But I was just meeting up with a dance mentor of mine yesterday, well, 2 days ago, or my old dance teacher who I haven't seen in a while. And she was like, I guess, encouraging us, my friends and I, to be present when we dance, and to treat dance as like a, to treat it with reverence. And that just really inspired me to like go back to work next week to not treat ballet as a chore, but like, I chose to do this, and how can I take my artwork serious, my art, this art form seriously, and be intentional with class, with tendus, with fondues, with like all of those things are supposed to prep you for the center, and then prep you for your rehearsals. So yeah, not taking the boring stuff for granted. Yeah.
I mean, I guess now for me, when I go to dance, it feels like something that I'm doing for fun. And I'm a bit flippant about it. Like, I sort of laugh at myself. It's a good opportunity to laugh at myself, especially when I was pregnant recently, trying to do a ballet class with a big belly, which is hilarious, but so much fun. And you just look at yourself in a different way and adjust your expectations accordingly. But yeah, I think you were doing it as a job, as your profession every day. Like, yeah, it's nice that you can have a holiday and a break and have a different perspective and come back into it with a different mindset. I guess having a holiday is like that for a lot of people. Like a really good, a really good honest reflection.
Honest. Yeah. But also actually since being a professional dancer, I've been injured a few times, and those times you have to take a break, you're forced to take a break. But when you go back into ballet, it's always a progression of, you don't go straight into jumping and pirouettes and point work. You always start back at the bar, start slowly doing those exercises. So I think every time I take a break and go back, there's a bit of an adjustment and a reset of, how can I work my muscles better this time, or how can I change my approach? I'm a big fan of breaks.
It's really good for people to hear. Like, whenever I'm working with young dancers, even explaining to them that, you know, it's usually a requirement by law that professional dancers have a day off per week, and they sort of look at you a bit funny, and you're like, no, like, it's actually a thing that professional dancers do. I'm not just making it up. But yeah, like, if you don't have a day off and you don't have breaks, then yeah, your body can't perform at its peak. So yeah. Let's just flash back to the pandemic. So tell us what happened in your career at that time. So you said you went back to school and you finished your degree. Well, you kept studying online. Tell us about, I don't know, like how that made you feel, and what kind of reflections you have of that year where nobody really danced very much at all.
Mm-hmm. That was so interesting, because I decided to not take another short-term contract with Hong Kong Ballet and go back to school before I knew COVID was a thing. So that was like 2 months maybe before COVID. And then once COVID hit, I was at school and the company didn't dance. So I felt like that was like timed so well. I couldn't have timed it more perfectly.
Very fortuitous. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you would have known, like, when I was at QB, when I was like almost done with my degree, but I still had a year and a half to go, part of me always wanted to go back and finish it, but I just didn't know what the right time was, because I felt like I had momentum. I started doing full-time training and I wanted to go dance. But yeah, I guess the timing just worked out during 2020 when I went back to school. There were a lot of like online classes people took at home on Zoom, and I was not a fan of that. So I didn't really mind not dancing then, and just finishing school. But because I decided when school was switched to being online, I went back to Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a bit more relaxed with the social distancing measures than in the US. So I remember I still took some classes with masks on, but I think my friends in the US were like, there was like limited people allowed in a room, or you couldn't, like, it was, yeah, I think different countries just approached it differently, but my situation in Hong Kong worked for me, so to do online school and then dance when I wanted to.
So that's, yeah, that was my next question, was like, did you dance at all in that year? And the answer to that is obviously yes. And it sounds like similar kind of to Australia and Queensland in the state that we're in particular, like there were still, there weren't for a short period of time any face-to-face going on, but then it came back fairly quickly. So it meant that people could train a little bit face-to-face partway through the year.
Mm. Actually, I forgot, but maybe you don't know. I had a dance thesis, so that was like a thing I got to do for my minor, my certificate program. And usually in my school, we either like get to choreograph, or we'll have someone come to our school to choreograph for us, and we'll have a big show. But because I was in Hong Kong, I did a film instead. And because of all this COVID situation, we filmed outdoors. So that was a cool thing to do. Like, I did a piece, what do you call it? It's like a site specific piece. So we didn't like rehearse in the studio or anything. We went to the mountains, to like, I was hanging on rails at one point. So that was kind of how COVID gave me this opportunity to film my dance thesis outdoors.
Well, yeah, that's super cool. No, I didn't know that.
I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I can imagine what that would be like the mountains around Hong Kong. Mm, very cool. And so then at what point did you know that you were coming back into Hong Kong Ballet with a dance job after that?
Well, I didn't know. they actually asked me to come back, or I like applied for an audition. They didn't have a spot for me, but then when the season finally started, they needed extra dancers. So that's how I got to rejoin Hong Kong Ballet. I did a few productions with them as an extra dancer, and then finally they hired me as an apprentice, and then now in the core. Yeah. So it was kind of, I thought about auditioning elsewhere. I wanted to go to Europe because I hadn't danced in Europe. At Hong Kong Ballet, they prefer taller dancers. So because I'm on the shorter end, I had trouble getting, I feel like that was the biggest thing that was stopping me from getting into the company. So I was like, oh, maybe Europe. But then because of COVID, companies in Europe weren't hiring either. So I was very thankful when Hong Kong Ballet ended up giving me a full-time contract. So I didn't have to stress about making an audition video and flying during COVID. And yeah, so I'm glad to be here now.
That was a really tough year, actually, for a lot of for dancers all over the world, like especially those people finishing their training at that point in time and trying to look for jobs when there just weren't any. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very, very, very lucky. But yeah.
How did we live through that time?
I don't know. It's something that we'll always look back on and be like, yep, that was, you know, tell the grandchildren, you'll never believe it, but this is what happened. I wonder, did you ever think, I'm going to start looking for a job, like a non-dance job at that point? Yeah.
I did. So of college, so this is my last year doing online school. I reapplied to Hong Kong Ballet, and when they told me they didn't have a spot for me, I had about 4 months before I was going to graduate. And so I was like, oh, what do I do now? I thought about maybe going to do like a master's in architecture because that was what I studied. I didn't really want to be an architect, but I love studying it, which is kind of weird. It's just the lifestyle of an actual architect is so different from being a student. So yeah, I was like, maybe I'll do that. Of course, my dad was like, yeah, do a master's. But then I also thought about being a high school teacher because I love high school. So, and I have a few friends that are teachers now. So I felt like maybe I could be a good teacher in school. So I thought about these things, but it wasn't long before Hong Kong Ballet contacted me again. So maybe after I retire, which I don't know how many more years I have for my career. I have 7, 8 years.
Oh, look, you know, hopefully a long time, you know, and I think maybe some of the things that you've learned about your body and the work that you're putting in now, like I feel like a new generation of dancers has so much more advantage than dancers that have come before you, even like 5 or 6 years before you, because, you know, like sports medicine has evolved, and the fact that, you know, ballet companies have on-site healthcare, that's evolved. You know, even when I think back to when I was doing my like full-time training, the information we had about our bodies was like tiny slice of, compared to what dancers who are your age now know about your bodies. Like I think it's yeah, and even things like social media, like Instagram, being able to follow accounts of medical professionals, like that just wasn't a thing. But you can still learn. Yeah, well, that's it. Podcasts weren't a thing. I suppose it depends on who you follow, but, you know, as to the quality of the information, but you can learn some really interesting things if you follow the right accounts. That's what
I
What are your recommendations for a dancer who wants to complete a university degree while they're dancing professionally, or if they're, you know, maybe in a full-time program?
I don't think it's easy. I don't know how I did it. Well, I do kind of know how I did it. I just, for me, I had to really take time off one thing to be focused on the other thing. But my advice is to learn how to work smart, to learn what, like, the maximum efficiency of something, I guess. So it'd be like, maybe just do one ballet class a week, but then you really do a really good ballet class. Or I guess you also have to learn to, if you're studying, you have to be focused on, try to be focused on what you're studying so you don't, like, waste time. Yeah, maximizing your time. But for me, I love taking breaks, taking like resting, and just taking care of my body. Because I think the biggest challenge for me was actually to get my body strong, because I didn't do full-time training until I was 21. I didn't have a lot of the basic skills or basic knowledge to prevent injury. Which is why I'm friends with Louise, because I like to physio so much.
Although having said that, Natalie, because you're also pretty cluey, like you're pretty smart, you picked it up quite quickly. And I think you approached things with a really inquisitive mind, which made a difference, and you wanted to learn more. So, yeah, I mean, that's another really cool thing about your career, is that you didn't start full-time training till 21, or probably 20, but like that, you know, that in itself, a lot of endurance athletes peak at that age. Like I think it really does. If anything, it demonstrates that you don't need to be doing a million hours like when you're 14 or 15. And that's a really, you know, obviously it's not for everybody, but I think when you say work smart, like I would definitely say that you're a person that worked smart, because you had to. That was just the situation that you were dealt. But yeah, it really did work in your favor. Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, take care of your bodies. You only have one body. Eat well and learn to strengthen the right muscles. I'm still learning. but yeah, like learning how the exercises you do from Pilates or what your physio gives you or strength training. Like for me, it's like learning how those translate to my dancing. And then now when I'm dancing and I see a weakness in a certain move that I do, I can try to figure it out on myself or talk to my physio and ask, how can I work this muscle so that I can train it to do what I need it to do? Yeah.
I actually have another question for you. Do you feel now like you've caught up, when you feel as though you might be a little bit behind coming in at a like a couple of years older or behind everyone, or not having done full time since you're a teenager, do you feel now as though you're caught up and you're where you need to be? And I don't know, is that a
yes and no. I feel like I'm caught up in the sense that I know what it's like to be a professional dancer, and I am a professional dancer. I know what I can do to make myself better. I felt like I was so clueless before. I'm just good at copying things, but I didn't know how things actually worked in my body. So now I have a better idea of that. But also, I do see a difference. So now at the Hong Kong Ballet, we have a lot of dancers from China. So they start full-time training when they're 11. So they all have incredible extensions, really good turns. And so in that sense, I don't think I'll ever reach that level of like the technique that they have, or ever, I'll never look like they do. That's just because they started full-time training like 10 years before I did.
But also, you know, you're you and they're them. So
yeah, I think I have a different skill set.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I'm less of a technician, but more of an artist, or like to be that way. And so, yeah, I guess I'll never catch up. I feel like I'll never catch up to that level of technique that they have. But then I also feel like I've caught up to kind of with the knowledge that I have of how to make myself a better dancer. I feel like I'm getting there. Yeah.
But I mean, that's also a good point too. Like, dancing's being a good technician, but it's also a big part is being a performer. And maybe you have lots of years of performing experience through different mediums that definitely would make you engaging to watch on stage. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm so grateful for my mom letting me do like musicals and things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some of those things, you know, dancers don't necessarily get taught. Like, they get taught a lot of technique and drills, and to be really taught how to be an artist, it's something that's hard to teach. And I think it's hard to have time when you're training on to work on both. Yeah. Hmm. Yes, very interesting. If you were going to be an architect tomorrow, like, what kind of buildings would you want to design?
I'm not really passionate about buildings, so I have no idea. But I went to the Thomas Dixon Center recently, the Queensland Ballet's building, and they had renovated since I've gone. So it was so cool to go back and see part of the old structure that was a heritage building. They had to keep the brick walls of the shoe factory. But then how they managed to expand it and make it look like when you walk in, you just feel like it's like lit up. I don't know how to explain it. If it's not open, it's not a window at the top, but then it feels so bright and so warm and welcoming. And a couple of the studios have, or I think one studio has like a big window, or two of the studios. Yeah. That was kind of really cool for me as an architect to see. I love how buildings use light, change how a space looks. Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, I would like to make something with a lot of windows. I don't know, Louise.
I think that's a good answer. Yeah. And last question, what are your favorite pair of pointe shoes? What are your go-to pair? Have you experimented with different types over the years? And like, how did you land where you are now?
Okay, so I've worn so many different pairs of pointe shoes. And I think I've worn like Grishkos and Freeds and Gaynors. This was all like in middle school, high school, when I was still dancing after school. And I wore Freeds for a bit until I came to QB. And that QB, because QB is sponsored by Block, so we were strongly encouraged to switch to Block shoes, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I've pretty much stuck with block since then. I wore Heritage for about 3 or 4 years, and then just 2 years ago I switched to Balance European, so that's what I wear now. Just started to play around with customs last year, but then our point shoe lady at Hong Kong Ballet says there's a new shoe called Flexus that you can't buy at the block shop. And she says it might look good on my feet. So I think I'm going to get to try them this month. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I wish there could be like a combination of block and freed. Because when I came to Hong Kong Ballet, they also had some dancers wearing freeds. So I kind of tried the freeds again. And I feel like the freeds, when I jump, I feel so light. And there's like no sound when you land. But then the freeds don't last very long. So then I wish there were a combination so that like freeds can like, when you're on point, you feel like you're on block shoes. But when you jump, they feel like freed shoes.
That's a really interesting observation. Maybe block and freed are listening. Maybe. Thank you so much for joining me on the Pre-Point Pod, Nellie. It's really lovely to hear your perspective and your story, and
thanks for having me. Finally made it happen.
Yeah, you'll be dancing for many, many more years to come.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.